Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. It is Tuesday, December 5th, folks. We're coming up, approaching Christmas. I hate to be the one to break that news to you if you have not yet driven by your local mall and haven't discovered that the traffic is almost impassable. Do want to let you know, though, that our Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands are still available. I think you just have 1 week to go before they won't reach you in time for Christmas if you want to order them. Go to afastore.net, afastore.net. Our Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands still available. They are beautiful green with white lettering, two red crosses on that. They are a good way to raise the issue. If someone makes a comment about them, you can wear them and share them. We like for you to give them away. And you can buy those in quantities of your choosing. You go to afastore.net. You still have time. All right, Ray Pritchard, who is co-hosting with me today and tomorrow, founder of Keep Believing Ministries. The website of the ministry is keepbelieving.com. Ray, I always like for you to let our listeners know what they can find at keepbelieving.com if they go there.
We are in the Advent season, Ed, and this is December 5th, and we're making the journey up toward Christmas Day. And on the very front page, the very front of our website, there's a place where you can download our brand new free Advent devotional, 25 days leading up from December the 1st to December 25th. And this year's theme is Simple Christmas, getting back to Christmas as it is supposed to be from a biblical point of view. And each day we're looking at a different word. We've already looked at remember, we've looked at turn, we've looked at wait, and in the days to come, we're going to look at share and at give and at rejoice and adore. So 25 devotions to lead us up to Christmas. So come on over to keepbelieving.com. You'll see the big banner that says Simple Christmas. Click on that, download it, and join us on this Advent journey. It's free.
Man, awesome. Thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. And really, thank you for all that you do at Keep Believing Ministries, making so much material available to Christians all over the world. So good job. And Ray Pritchard is a name and a voice. Folks, that if you listen to Today's Issues for very long, you recognize Ray. He is a denizen of Dallas.
I like that. Denizen
of Dallas.
Kind of. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, that's maybe.
I haven't even heard that word in a long time.
Yeah, denizen. Maybe a little too sinister. I may have to Google that. Make sure I didn't just insult you, Ray. So
we should ask Steve. Is it okay to be a denizen?
Yeah, Steve Jordahl. Steve, you have something you want to add to this very important
denizen.
Discussion?
A denizen. Yeah, I'd use the term carefully, probably.
Yeah. A denizen of Denny's Restaurant or something. That could be. All right, that voice you heard was Steve Jordahl, reporter and news anchor for American Family News. Steve, you have some updates for us on the Supreme Court hearing of the case involving Jack Phillips?
Good morning, Ed and Ray. Yeah, just a couple things. Let me just start with, if I can, deviate from the script we had just a second ago. Just very two quick things. There's a news breaking here that the House Committee, a Rules Committee, is not going to take up the government funding bill that needs to pass until tomorrow, which means that they don't have their ducks quite in a row to get the government funded. The government would shut down Friday at midnight.
It expires.
It expires
the
Friday
last
midnight.
Continuing resolution. Revolution.
Right.
I wish. Continuing resolution expires Friday. So,
yeah,
all right.
And so that's kind of a bad sign for that. And then in Southern California, they've got a raging wildfire going. It is not contained at all. Last count, 31,000 acres burning, 150 structures destroyed, and 27,000 people in Southern California in Ventura County evacuated. So something to keep in your prayers and thoughts if you have loved ones or just are concerned.
Yeah, you mentioned this morning during our story meeting when you brought this up, I said, yeah, we need to definitely mention that so people will pray and be aware of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was thinking that that's, you know, the summer season was gone, but if they haven't had any rain, I guess.
No, it's been unseasonably warm in the Southwest,
yeah, okay.
And L.A. is kind of in that area too.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Yeah, so the arguments are over at the Supreme Court. We haven't had the promised press conference outside the steps yet, at least I don't believe we have. But I am getting some readings from inside the court. A fairly neutral politically blogger, a very good source, Amy Howe, who blogs on the Supreme Court, said this. After nearly 90 minutes at SCOTUS, majority, including Anthony Kennedy, seems to be leaning toward Masterpiece Cake Shop. Kennedy sent mixed messages. At one point, he told the Solicitor General that a win for the cake shop could lead to an affront to the gay community, but also suggested Colorado was too hostile to religion. And then I follow a couple of reporters on the other side of the political aisle, shall we say. I won't name them here, but these are people you can tell by their tweets what side of the issue they land on.
Yeah.
Leaving SCOTUS now, terrible arguments for pro-equality side. Kennedy all but sure to side with anti-gay Baker. Just got out of arguments, Masterpiece Cake Shop. I think the anti-gay Baker wins 5-4. Another one, Kennedy doesn't seem to agree that refusing to serve a same-sex wedding is inherently anti-gay discrimination, and he said Colorado has been, quote, neither tolerant nor respectful to the Baker's, quote, religious beliefs. And then finally, another one that says, I only see one way progressives win. Kennedy says compelled cake baking is not speech, but religious discrimination may have infected this case, then remand for further findings on free exercise. That's a little in the weeds, but basically, let me remind everybody that we're reading tea leaves here. Really, we're trying to divine from questions asked from the bench which
yes,
way
and start by telling our listeners what SCOTUS means.
SCOTUS is just the brief acronym for Supreme Court of the United States.
Okay.
So it's what, if you don't like to spell the whole thing out or
say
the whole
thing. You'll find that in news stories.
We just kind of banter, throw that around, SCOTUS. Yeah. So the you can tell only so much. I was just talking with Fred as we were switching sides here, and he said, you know, the justices are kind of known for being able to mislead from the bench too. They don't want to tip their hand too much,
right?
But these are respected reporters, and they know the same thing. So it's leaning one way. We don't know what'll happen. The other caveat I'd like to bring to the discussion is that there are almost endless possibilities of what could come of this case. It could be a slam dunk for religious freedom and freedom of speech, where the justices say, you know what, when it comes to a conflict between freedom of religion and freedom of speech and gay rights, the constitutional guarantees of freedom of religion and freedom of free speech should win every time. And that would be a landmark's decision, which could change the whole scope of the discussion. But it also could be because they are arguing on two different clauses of the First Amendment, that they rule one way on the freedom of religion thing and another way of the freedom of speech. They could remand this down to the courts for further discussion. It's just endless what could happen. So we want to be real careful about divining too much at this point.
If they remand it back down, Steve, that means that there's really no decision.
Well, they would remand it with instructions. They won't just send it back down and say just take another swipe. They would say something to the effect of, "We see where perhaps they could say we see where free speech is here, and but we're not sure what this means for freedom of religion. So, with these details, these findings, go and rehear this part of the case." It won't just go back for a second swipe. By that time, we would be a lot further along on knowing how far they went with this decision.
And they could also just simply make a ruling that is related to Colorado. Because there is a specific law on the books in Colorado that the court system there is used to, in my opinion, infringe on the religious liberties of Jack Phillips. They could merely rule on Colorado, and it might not have any other broader implications for the rest of us, right?
I think we'd have to check with Abe on this when he gets back. But I don't think that they can go quite that narrow. They could rule on the specific law that you're talking about, the yeah. Civil Rights Ordinance, and say it is or it isn't constitutional. And they could limit it to that specific ordinance.
Right.
But any other ordinance that is the same or similar would also across the country be in or out, depending on what they ruled. But yes, the point I think you're making, and which is a very valid point, is it could be a very narrow ruling. It could not, maybe the justices don't think for whatever reason that this is a case that they need to put the whole load of religious freedom and free speech on. They try to take it a step or two back from the landmark case. It just depends.
Well, and we do need to, my own personal opinion is because this is such a hot topic and issue in so many other ways. We talked about Kelvin Cochran earlier on the program there, you know, the Baronelle Stutzman case, all these other cases involving weddings. I would think, now this could be my problem, I would think the Supreme Court would want to settle some of that, you know, to clear the air and give some direction to the country. But you never know. You never know what they're thinking. And but it does seem likely that it is going to be 5-4, I think. That's probably a reasonable...
I think going into this whole thing, you could probably have guessed that or probably the odds are good that it's going to be 5-4. Kennedy is the one you want to watch.
When do you think, does anybody know when the ruling will come down? Is this going to happen in January, February?
Yeah.
Could this happen in June at the end of the term?
Yeah, no, it certainly could happen. In fact, they expect it to happen by the end of the term, but it won't be before that. It's not going to be this week or next week, but we're talking early next year.
So the likelihood is they will issue this ruling early in the year, you say?
Yes. Okay. What they do is the Supreme Court has a whole season, basically, of several weeks where they hear arguments.
Right.
And then they have a whole session later in where they give their decisions. And this is the time where they're taking arguments with.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't know, because some of these big, like the Obergefell decision, there was expectations it might be released in March when they issued some rulings, but they waited till the end of the term, June 30th or whenever, maybe the week. So some people think that they wait all that time to make up their mind. Usually these things are all written fairly quickly, and they just wait to release them.
I think what happens is they wait so that they can get out of town before everybody yes. knows where to find them.
That's right.
Be on an island somewhere with no internet.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. What else we got?
Well, we said that there's seasons for doing things in the Supreme Court. I'm going to break that rule right now. Yesterday, we found out that the Supreme Court did issue a decision with regard to President Trump's travel ban. The reason they did this, of course, is because it's extremely time-sensitive. It really was senseless to wait till next year to decide this. But and this is another surprising aspect of this, in a 7-2 decision, they upheld, or they said that the Trump travel ban on the third version of this travel ban can be fully enforced while the actual challenge winds its way through the courts.
Yes, and now that was when I first saw the headline, I thought the Supreme Court had ruled in favor of the Trump administration in regards to all these cases. They actually didn't do that. They are simply allowing the travel ban to take full effect while these cases are worked out, correct?
What it means is that they saw enough evidence in the arguments that they thought that it was likely that they would prevail on this count. That they had a good enough argument and it was important enough that they would allow this thing to go in effect. And
7-2 is...
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. They didn't agree. But that means that the other...
Elena Kagan. Stephen Breyer, the other two liberals on the court.
Breyer and Kagan voted for this move. Not that they're voting for the whole enchilada, but they are saying it's important enough to go on while the case is being discussed.
Ray, you have any questions?
So is this a small win for the Trump administration, or is it a big one?
I think it's a small one.
Yeah, I think it's a small one, but I am impressed by the 7-2 margin.
Yeah.
Because to me, this is a slam dunk. I mean, it is clear to me, both from the constitutional authority of the president to statutory authority, it seems clear to me the president has the right. President Obama had the right and exercised the right to determine from which countries and under what circumstances people are allowed to enter the country.
Right.
I mean, that seems to be a no-brainer. And I think the 7-2, without reading too much into this, I think the 7-2 margin is indicative of the fact that at least two of the liberals understand that if you are going to allow a judge to determine who gets to come into the country, you have created a constitutional crisis. You can't have a judge in Hawaii deciding from what countries immigrants come and overseeing that constitutional duty of the president.
I think what you're picking out is that it is the duty of the president to set immigration. This case, it kind of challenges that, and the ruling could end up being that, well, it's Congress and the president or however they decide it, but at least for now, because this case has not yet been decided, the rule as it stands is it's the president's
job. Yeah, and when I said statutory, Congress has made it explicit in its laws that the president would decide.
Well, the Constitution makes it also yes. Speaks into the fact that
right.
It's part of the executive branch powers.
Okay. So anyway, this is something obviously has been going on all year with regards to the president's policy. That is to raise a question is a small victory, but a victory nonetheless for the administration. All right, what else we got?
Yeah, I want to give kudos to our colleague Brian Fisher today.
Right.
Yesterday on his program here on American Family Radio, he interviewed Judge Roy Moore, an interview that just about everybody in media would love to have gotten, but Brian and Focal Point got the interview. And it was picked up by Fox. It was picked up by NBC, some of the cuts. And so all over the mainstream media, you were hearing AFR credited with having this interview. Good work. Because Moore is probably, for good reason, leery of the press right now.
Right.
But he thought that Brian would be fair and spend some time with him.
And in fact, Fox News wanted to carry the interview live. We just couldn't get the technical aspects worked out with them on their end.
Yeah,
fast enough once they found out that. So kudos to Brian. Do we have any clips of the interview?
I asked Brian as I was walking down the hall. I said, "What stood out to you about this?" And he says, "I asked him at the very end of the interview when he got if he was to win the election and we get to Washington, who does he owe? Because every politician, of course, you know, owes." People who gave to his campaign or whatever. And this is Judge Moore's answer.
I owe nothing to the GOP establishment. In fact, I owe nothing to anybody, contributors or anybody else, only to the people of Alabama and Almighty God. And I will uphold the principles in the face of a GOP establishment that does not want to stick to principle. So we're going to have a fight. We're going to have a battle. And but I assume that they will see the light.
I love that. He's assuming that he's going to convince the rest of the Congress that his issues are right.
Well, Ray, that is funny. The thing that I think stands out to me is the fact that almost the entire GOP establishment was against Roy Moore from the beginning, and so he certainly doesn't owe anything to the GOP establishment, and I think the reasons one of the reasons why they gave $30 million to his opponent in the Republican primary was because he is so anti-swamp. Roy Moore in the Senate probably gives them nightmares.
You know, you would pay good money, wouldn't you, to be a fly on the wall when the Republican senators go into, you know, behind closed doors and see what happens, because he's not the kind of man who's going to give ground, right?
Right.
He's going to stand up and, I mean, that's one of the reasons. If he wins, and I think it's correct to say, Steve, isn't he leading just a little bit in the polls right now?
I've seen various polls. The last one that some would put up, he was down by a couple points. But I haven't looked at Real Clear Politics. They do an average of polls. But it's very close, and most observers think he probably will pull this out. And another piece of breaking news, and another reason why it's probably good for him, You know that the Republican National Committee pulled its funding from Roy Moore in the middle of all these allegations.
Right.
Yesterday, after President Trump strongly endorsed, without qualification, Judge Moore, the Republican National Committee has decided to put back their funding. So everything is as it was. Now, what the voters in Alabama think, you know, we'll find that out in a week.
Okay. All right, what else we got? I know we have one story we definitely wanted to get to.
Why don't we start talking about that now?
Okay.
I wanted to end with a good news story.
Okay, good.
I found this, and it just it warmed my heart. So I am recently transplanted from Colorado Springs. I lived there for 15 years, and one of the pride and joy of Colorado Springs is Fort Carson, which is a large military base on the south side of the city.
And is that named after Kit Carson?
No, I don't think it's Kit. It's
okay.
A different Carson.
Right.
And it is the proud home to the 4th Marine 4th Army Infantry Division. And it has been the proud home to that division for more than 100 years. So the 4th ID fought in World War I. They fought across the France. They led the charge on Normandy at Utah Beach on June 6, 1944, and have just had a very illustrious career at the tip of the spear. Well, we found out as a birthday present. We found out this yesterday, I believe, two living Medal of Honor winners are going to donate their medals to the base, to the 4th ID. And they are going to, they're doing this. And this was what one of them said. His name is Groberg, and I have his first name here, Captain Flo Groberg. And he said, he was asked, he says, was this an easy decision? And he says, it was a no-brainer. He says, quote, we're giving it to the unit because it belongs to the unit. Nobody's an individual. We're bound to each other's successes and failures.
Wow.
Well, now this is, you said one of the oldest members. This is someone who served in World War II?
No. This is a young man who received his medal in Afghanistan.
Ah,
the
okay.
unit, the 4th ID, the 4th Infantry Division, served in World War I and World War II. It's 100 years old this year. And these are two, Captain Flo Groberg and Staff Sergeant Clint Romesha, both earned their medals in 2012 and 2009. So Captain Groberg earned his medal by tackling a suicide bomber in 2012.
Oh, my goodness.
The blast from the bomber's explosive vest left him with severe injuries, but his actions were credited with saving the lives of his comrades. Staff Sergeant Romesha earned his medal in 2009, the fight for combat outpost Keating in eastern Afghanistan. Despite shrapnel wounds, Romesha repeatedly rallied his soldiers and braved enemy fire during a 12-hour firefight.
Well, that is a superb story to end the program.
The brightest and best, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
That is outstanding, and kudos to those and to the others who have served our country, and many over the years did not make it back, and family members remain. We do thank all of our men and women who serve our country so faithfully, and our thanks to you for that service. Great story, Steve. Steve Jordahl, reporter, news anchor for American Family News. This is Ed Vitagliano along with Ray Pritchard. We have happily been your hosts today for today's issues. More great programming straight ahead on American Family Radio News, our network, and we will see you tomorrow for another edition of today's edition.